Good day, everybody. Welcome to New Matter, the SLAS podcast where we interview life science luminaries. Today, we're joined by David Weinkove. He is the CEO of Magnitude Biosciences. They are an Innovation Avenue company and are going to be joining us at SLAS 2022 in Boston in February. And we're very excited. Welcome, David.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. So, I'm going to start you off with the SLAS challenge of describing what Magnitude does in 10 words or less.
Well, this is what I've come up with. We use tiny worms to test compounds for health.
I love that.
Is that the kind of thing that you're after?
Yes, I love that. And so I am so glad you started off with the worms thing, David, because when I was reading through your website, I got really excited about them because my last podcast interview I did with Randy Blakely, he's at the Florida Atlantic University Brain Institute, and he's the one who introduced me to the concept of worms, like using worms for this type of science. And I got excited when I looked at your website and saw like the very neat chart explaining exactly why you use worms. So let's go into more detail. Tell me exactly what that means in a little more detail.
So we use a very specific worm called Coenorhabditis elegans, or most people call it C. elegans. And it's a really well-used model system. So that means that you can do genetics, biochemistry, cell biology and physiology all in the same model, because it's a really powerful in vivo model where you can do experiments fast, you can find things out. There's no restrictions in terms of animal ethics or anything like that. So you can do your experiments fast and find out things very quickly. And it's been really successful in the academic world to find out a lot of things about biology. There's been 3 Nobel Prizes awarded to people working with C. elegans. But it hasn't really made an impact in industrial biotech that's proportionate to how powerful it is as an academic model. So really, that's what we're trying to do, is bring that power to a wide range of customers, of industrial customers, to allow them to test their compounds or whatever their challenges are. We try to approach it using worms. So we specifically design a worm-based experiment to try and overcome their particular challenge.
So you said that it's really successful in the academic world, but it hasn't really hit the industrial biotech yet. And I know you're originally from kind of an academic background from Durham, I think, university. So is that kind of how you ended up getting into this, that you were working in this field there and you wanted to bring it from academia over into industry?
Yeah, so I've been working with C. elegans for over 20 years. I actually did my PhD with another organism called Drosophila, the fruit fly. But I started off with a postdoc in the Netherlands, actually. And ever since I started, I was already thinking that this system could be used industrially. And through the years, I've just seen the power of what it can do. But I've also been interested in what people are doing in biotech in other areas, and just thought, you know, why is that not being applied? And so that's why I've been thinking about this for many years. Our company's only just over 3 years old.
Yep, that's right. I think 2018 you guys got started.
That's right.
Okay, so could you go into why C. elegans is so fast, especially as an academic model, and how that quickness can translate into industry challenges and how it can be applied there?
Well, I think you got to think about the speeds of different kind of biological systems. So obviously, as many of your members will probably be very familiar with working in cell culture, you know, and cell culture is very fast as well. You can do experiments quite quickly. But often the next stage, once they want to develop that work from cell culture, they need to go into a whole animal model. And so normally it would go to a mouse model or a rat model. Now, mice and rats take a lot of work and a lot of time, and there's obviously ethical restrictions and things to think about when you start to design experiments in those models. Now, a worm, the worm C. elegans, you can do at the kind of scale and pace that you can use with cell culture, but they're a whole organism, you know, they're a whole animal, and they have many of the organs that humans have, many of the cell types. And so you can start to see how things work in that whole organism level, and you can also, as I said before, you've got very powerful genetics and biochemistry and so on that you can combine together.
That sounds like it, you know, translates well into the aging industry. And I recall seeing that you work on that on your website.
Yes.
So if that is true with scale and pace, could you tell us the difference between lifespan and health span? For instance, for longevity and aging, so many people, even researchers, will use those terms interchangeably.
It's a very good question. So obviously lifespan is how long the animal lives for. And people think about that a lot when they're looking at small animals. And the traditional experiments in C. elegans have been seeing how long does that worm live. Well, actually, when you ask people that are developing drugs to slow aging and so on, what they really want to do, most of the time it's not so much making people live longer, but it's keeping them healthier for longer. And so, you know, there's no point living for a long time if you're going to be sick and not well. Now, in C. elegans, the lifespan is only about 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But the time that the worms are healthy, and what we mean by being healthy is that they're moving actively and so forth, that time is only about a week. Mm. So we have got some new technology that we developed originally at Durham University and have developed ever since in Magnitude Biosciences, which allows us to monitor how those worms slow down during that first week of adulthood. And that gives us really great data on how they stay healthy. And we can look for interventions that shift that curve and so allow them to stay healthier for longer. And that's really what we want to do. And the other advantage of that is that it gives us much more data, because if you're just looking for how long a worm lives for, it's just one data point. How long does that worm live? It doesn't tell you anything about the health or anything else that it's doing in that time. Whereas with our technology, we can see what happens to those worms, how they change their behavior, how their movement is affected during that aging period. And we think that, you know, many of the healthcare challenges out there are all really about chronic diseases that get worse with age. Mm-hmm. And so there's a idea which is very strongly supported that if you can slow aging, you can slow the onset of these diseases and slow the severity of these diseases. So we really think aging is something really interesting to look at, but also our technology allows us to give us outputs of health that might be, you know, disease related, for example.
That is really neat. So I recall from your website that you're not just working on aging itself, but you're kind of applying this technology to a whole bunch of different fields. So I want to get into that in a little bit, because I'm curious about, you know, the agricultural components, et cetera. But kind of one last question on the topic of health. Could you talk about, you know, metabolism? So, you know, for industry, biologics can be mass tried or tested, you know, within this system. Could you tell us a little bit about a time when you helped someone in either industry or as a CRO or academia come to that conclusion?
For example, we have worked with some small startup companies that have had a compound which they thought slowed aging, and they found that it slowed aging in a cell-based model of aging, that's the senescent cells. And they really wanted to know if it was working in the whole organism, and they didn't have the funds or the time to go into mice. So we first looked at the toxicity of the compound, which is something that we always do first. We found that it had very low toxicity, so that was fantastic. And we could take that on to look at health span. And we found actually that the compound did extend health span really nicely. And so that gave our client some great data to take forward to their investors to get further investment. Other examples include people that are trying to find, they might have a panel of drugs that they think might affect aging or health, and they want us to test which ones do and which ones don't. We've got other clients that are looking at natural products or mixtures of natural products. We've got another project where they're looking at particular microorganisms and seeing how they affect health. So we're helping a whole variety of clients try to find interventions that help health for different reasons for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So I get how you're working with kind of like biotechnology and pharmaceutical companies, health product companies and the like. One of the things your website mentioned that you also work with like manufacturing, you know, agri, green manufacturing. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do with them?
Yes. So for those companies that are concerned about the environmental impact of some of their products or breakdown products of their products. Mm-hmm. And so we have a very quick way to see if they produce any sort of toxicity. And what is really good about C. elegans, because they grow so fast, so the generation time from egg to adult is only 3 days. And then in the next 3 days, they lay a whole load of eggs in the next generation. So that you can very quickly work out if there's, you know, reproductive toxicity or developmental toxicity, as well as the sort of standard kind of acute toxicity, or we can also look at, you know, using the same technology that we look at whether something affects aging, we can see if there is a chronic toxicity that causes, you know, problems, you know, over the life course rather than just straight away, you know. So we get really quick and good data on how compounds affect toxicity. And so therefore, for example, a manufacturing company might have a process that they have that removes that toxicity. So if they want to test if that process is really working, we can look at their products after they've gone through that process and say, well, now, does that still have toxicity to C. elegans, or have we removed the toxicity? So it's that kind of experiment we can do. Or they might be developing a new compound and they want to, you know, sometimes their medicinal chemists might come up with thousands of different derivatives and they want to find out, are there any here that are really toxic that we want to avoid? So we can screen through those compounds and say, well, actually, those ones are quite toxic, so maybe you're better off focusing on the other compounds.
That's really cool. Okay. So for the manufacturing side of things and the green stuff, it's the impact of that is, you know, how they break down in the environment, right? So the worms basically are like, okay, this is toxic for the environment. This isn't toxic for the environment.
It gives you a really good indication.
Yeah. Okay. So on the manufacturing side, because I'm bouncing all over the place a little bit, you mentioned a lot of technology. Could you tell us about which systems you're used to using for this company? So NMR, microarray, imaging, which technologies are your mainstays?
So our mainstay technology is something that we developed ourselves. So my co-founder, Chris Saunter, is a physicist by background. He's been a physicist in Durham University for 20 years. He's now left Durham University to work full-time with Magnitude Biosciences. And he comes from a background of instrumentation and analysis. So their department uses this to like look at the stars in cosmology and looking at the images from telescopes. Mm-hmm. And for example, they use those images from telescopes to see if there's something moving. A bit like in, I don't know if you saw that Don't Look Up film. I don't know, you know, when they see the... he's a sort of, you know, have that sort of technology that spots that. So he's, instead of looking at the stars, he's using that to look at our work. So we have a whole array of cameras, and each camera looks at a Petri dish, which has about 30 worms on it. And it's monitoring those all the time and looking to sense movement. And that's how we sense movement 24/7 across many, many worms at once. So we have over 100 cameras. We're building hundreds more, and each one of those cameras is looking at a large number of worms. So that allows us to assess continually a large populations of animals, and allows us to test different interventions and compounds and so on.
That is really cool. I want to swing into some more generalized questions for a moment, just because I'm always curious about this for our startup companies, especially those that are pretty young. But I want to know, I always ask what the squee factor was. You know, was there a moment in the early years of your startup where something happened that pretty much everyone in the company just went, yes, we did it? Like, was there some really exciting moment, you know, whether it be your first sale or your first successful experiment? Can you share that with us?
I think to begin with, most of our clients were academics. And then we were really excited when we started getting some industrial customers, you know, some biotechs. I think we signed a biotech in Cambridge, UK, and that was really exciting to work with them. And then we've started to work with several biotechs in the US, and that's been really exciting, doing different things. We've got clients based in the Far East as well. So I think it's been really exciting to do that. It's also really fantastic when we do find a drug or intervention that makes the worms live healthier. You know, it's really exciting. And it's like, we had one very recently, which obviously I can't reveal, but we were like, everyone was very excited, and to a point where, they thought, well, maybe this is something that could really have an impact, you know, on people's health and aging. You know, obviously it takes a while for that, from our part of the process, to actually becoming available for people. But yeah, that can be really, really exciting to think about that. And to work with, you know, the other thing about this is that we get to work with some really amazing people, much more so than in academia. Not that I don't love academics, you know, but when you're actually talking to people that are actually, they're running their companies and they're developing new things, and there's a real excitement, there's a real kind of different way of thinking. And I've really enjoyed that.
That is awesome. Yeah, I can see how that would be super exciting, you knowing that your work, even when it's at the base level of the worms, will eventually translate into something that will be able to be applied in humans. That sounds really fun. And it sounds like, because one of my next questions would be, you are going to be exhibiting in Innovation Avenue in February. My question is always, who are you looking forward to network with in SLES? Is it biotech companies you're primarily looking to kind of get some connections with? Or is it just the widespread of industry or academia also, even though we know that, we're trying to move towards industry more?
I do love my academic colleagues, and I do like enjoying. SLAS is a new thing for me, and so I'm really looking forward to meeting some of the people that attend SLAS on a regular basis, and I'm coming in with a really open mind. I'm really hoping that I can form some new networks and just find some partnerships that might be long term partnerships. So I'm really. Don't want to prejudge it and say, well, I want to talk to this particular type of people. I really want to see what people want to do. What are their problems? Are there problems that we can help with C. elegans? And often the answer is no, but sometimes it really is. It's really great when you have this conversation with someone and you're really talking about what their issues are. And then you start thinking, hang on a minute, maybe we can use C. elegans here to do this particular thing. And then that's really, really great. And it's something that neither of us has probably thought about beforehand, but something great comes out of it. So I'm really hoping that I have those kind of interactions, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That is awesome. I can't wait to meet you personally and see the booth at SLES 2022. I'm going to ask kind of one final question and then open up for anything you might want to add that we didn't touch base on, but I'd like to hear kind of a neat fact. So, you mentioned early on in the interview about I think you said three Nobel Prize winners had used C. elegans in their research, something about, using their cells to make the worm grow or die. Can you tell me any really neat, fun facts about C. elegans that the general public may not know? Is there something neat about these worms that we should all know about? Because I'm quickly becoming obsessed with them, honestly.
Well, it's interesting because they have 300 neurons. Actually, for a long time, everyone thought they had 302 neurons, but two of them then got downgraded to non-neuron cells. So that's their brain.
Right.
And you might think that's quite simple, but someone has looked, using electron microscopy, has looked at all the connections, and there's 57,000 interconnections between those neurons. So it's an amazing system, and they respond to all the neurotransmitters that we're familiar with, dopamine, serotonin, acetylcholine, GABA, glutamine, all those kind of things. So I think that Sidney Brenner, who was the original person that set up C. elegans as a model, he always wanted to use C. elegans to understand the nervous system. And the funny thing is that you could say that those Nobel Prizes that were won, and those were for, first of all, for discovering the genes involved in apoptosis, cell death, which has now been useful in cancer. The second one was to do with RNA interference, which is now being used as therapies. And the third one was to do with GFP, which is used in many, many different systems. All of those things were, in a way, accidental discoveries on the way to try and understand how the C. elegans nervous system works. And the funny thing is, we still don't really understand how the C. elegans nervous system works. Even after 60 years of working on it, we found an awful lot about the C. elegans nervous system, but we still don't really know how it works.
All right. I liked that fact. That was fun. Okay. So I'm going to close this out with just seeing if there's anything I didn't talk about that you want to share about your company or, how to find out more about you, obviously your website, and I'll link it in the notes, but anything final you want to say to the audience?
I think the thing I would like to say to them is that I would like people to start to imagine what you could do with an intervention that slowed aging. What would that do to disease? What would that do to the way that people work? And is it worth putting that effort into trying to slow aging rather than putting effort into individual diseases?
I like that you gave our listeners a homework assignment, though.
It's also to do, another thing that I might mention is that I'm from this year, I'm the chair of the British Society for Research on Aging. So I'm very much tapped into the aging networks in the UK and abroad. So I'm often thinking about aging, but I think what I'm trying to do as well is thinking about aging to thinking about disease and how those interact with each other.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to definitely be thinking about it. Again, thank you so much, David. I'm really excited to see Magnitude Biosciences at SLAS 2022. We'll make sure to get this up ahead of time so people can get hyped up about seeing you guys. Thanks again for coming on today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
That was brilliant. I've really enjoyed it, and I look forward to meeting you in person.